أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي The subject which inshallah we intend to start this evening A question posed by the young generation who are encountered with so many questions pertaining to Karbala. A youth of today is unlike the youth of the past generation. He is curious, he is inquisitive, and he has to be attended. Short of that, things could end up in a wrong manner. One of the questions posed by this generation is that had Islam gone down, deteriorated to such an extent that Imam Hussein alayhi salam had to give his and his near and dear one's life and that even during a span of 50 years The Prophet expired in 11 AH and the incident took place in 61 AH. In a period of 50 years, half a century, things had gone to such an extent. It is wrong to assume that The movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam was an explosive movement that when Muawiyah the accursed died in 60 AH and when the question of giving allegiance was taken place, that is the time when Imam Hussein started his movement. That is the time when Imam Hussein alayhi salam rose. In the light of the following things which we are discussing, the revolution of the Imam, the Qiyam of the Imam should be understood. Imam alayhi salam was an active participant. He was a live witness to all the developments which are taking place from the time of the Prophet. And on account of all these developments, the Qiyam took place. So what I request my respected audience to be with me up to the last talk and then the fruit will be realized that how Islam had deteriorated and how Islam was saved by the sacrifice of Imam Hussein. And what fruits did we acquire in the post-Karbala period? And in order to understand this, we have to go to the days of the Holy Prophet. During the time of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his holy progeny, The Prophet, when he started his mission in a hostile environment, he spent 13 years in Mecca and 10 years in Medina, struggled hard to form a government which was civilized, which was based on human values. Because that period of the Jahiliyyah was full of inhuman values. So the Prophet struggled hard in this hostile environment. With his few companions to the extent that they had to undergo so much suffering that Imam Ali alayhi salatu was salam in Nahjul Balagha mentions pertaining to these companions in Nahjul Balagha that what difficulty these people underwent. They had to face difficulty in Shabi Abi Talib. They had to face difficulty in the Hijra to Habasha and to Medina. They had to face so many difficulties. Imam Ali mentions in this khutbah that people with their fathers and with their sons participated in the battle on the side of the Prophet. And they went under all these difficulties in order for the Prophet to succeed in his mission. At the same time, I said it is necessary to understand the revolution of Imam Hussein alayhi salam from this point which we are starting. It was not an explosive movement. It was based on all these facts and findings which we are presenting. At the same time, simultaneously, when the Prophet was struggling hard to establish a government based on Islamic principles, based on divine values, there was a group of people who were down to earth, corrupt in nature, who were filled with contamination, who were filled with tyranny, and who were filled with zulm. They had not a speck of nurariyat in their heart. And these people are known as the Bani Umayyah. In Ziyarat Ashura, we are cursing them all. لَعْنَتَ اللَّهُ بَنِي أُمَيَّةَ قَاتِبَةً. These are Bani Umayyah. Curse be on them all, with the exception of those who could be counted on the finger, like Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, and perhaps one, two, who had a bit of leniency towards Bani Hashim. All of them were corrupt from head to toe. They had not speck of light in their heart. These people were there at that time. And if I may take you a bit backwards, Abd Manaf, descendants were Abd Manaf's descendants were Hashim and Abd Shams. Right, this is how it started. We are not going still further backwards. There is Abd Manaf, there is Abd Shams, and there is Hashim. From Abd Shams came his son by the name of Umayyah. From Hashim came our Prophet. Now this Umayyah, the nephew of our Holy Prophet, the nephew of Hashim, was jealous on his uncle, Hashim. Hashim had a good past record. In the period of those days before Islam, Hashim had a good past record. He used to take care of the welfare of the Muslims. He used to take care when these Meccans used to suffer famine. He used to uplift them from an economic point of view. He had a good record and he had won the love of the people. Now Umayyah, his nephew, became jealous on this account. To the extent now he started propagating his mission so that he should be the center of admiration. But it was unsuccessful. To the extent that Umayyah made a proposal to his uncle Hashim that we should go to a sage of the time and he should decide the administration of Hijaz should be in whose hands. Hashim agreed to this. But he made a condition. Hashim agreed to this, but he made a condition that whoever be the loser, he should sacrifice so many number of camels with a black eye during the time of Hajj. And at the same time, he should spend 10 years outside Makkah. Hashim made this condition with his nephew Umayyah. They went to that sage, and the sage, on seeing the face of Hashim, gave the favor in the favor of Hashim. The sage, by seeing the luminous and the generous face of Hashim, gave the decision in favor of Hashim. And as a result, Umayyah had to go outside Makkah, and he departed to Syria. From this we can conclude how the influence of the Umayyad regime spread in Syria. And at the same time, how the enmity between Bani Hashim and Bani Umayyah originated. So this was a group which was there during the time of the Prophet, creating mischief for the Prophet, creating obstacles for the Prophet, who had not the slightest speck of luminosity in their heart. And the battles were raged. The battle of Badr took place. The battle of Uhud took place. Lot of difficulties were created on the Prophet. To the extent it ended up in the conquest of Mecca. When the Quraysh were defeated, when Abu Sufyan was defeated with his team, during Fatah Mecca, the Prophet told Abu Sufyan that we will give you protection. And he made a proposal with higher aims. He announced that whoever takes refuge in the house of Abu Sufyan is under protection. That is why Bibi Zainab alayha salam, addressing the Umayyad, has described them as Ya Ibn Tulaqa. Tulaqa are those people who had been given a refuge by the Prophet. These people are known as Tulaqa. Right, the Prophet gave this advice with a higher aim, that whoever wants peace should take refuge in the house of Bani, house of Abu Sufyan. At that time, Abu Sufyan accepted Islam for reasons of his personal benefit. On account of fear, he accepted Islam. On account of fear, he accepted Islam. But at the same time, it was not accepting Islam in its genuine sense. He had that enmity in the heart of the Holy Prophet. He had that enmity of the Holy Prophet and of Muslims in the heart of him. So things went on. Things developed, and a time came when the Prophet departed from this world. And some of the Muslims, when the burial of the Prophet had not taken place, went to Saqifa and elected Abu Bakr as the Khalifa. This was the greatest deviation in history, where the caliphate of Imam Ali was usurped. At that time, Abu Sufyan found a ripe opportunity to create a discord. He goes to Imam Ali alayhi salam and tells to Imam Ali alayhi salam that the Khilafat belonged to you and it has gone in wrong hands. I am going to create a bloodshed now. Imam Ali advises him, don't you dare do so. Circumstances are not ripe, but Abu Sufyan refuses this. And things develop. A time comes when Umar comes into the Khilafat. And Abu Sufyan time and again used to go with harsh words to Abu Bakr and Umar, telling them that the Khilafat does not belong to you. The Khilafat belongs to the Quraysh, to Abd Manaf. You know, in the Arab community there was that issue of fanaticism, ta'assubat. They would never agree that the Khilafat should go outside the Quraysh. Abu Bakr belonged to a different sect of team. So he used to fire time and again to Abu Bakr and Umar that this Khilafat does not belong to you. This Khilafat does not belong to you. And a time came when Umar decided to get rid of him. And he told, he made a decision to make Muawiyah as the governor of Sham. He made a decision to make Muawiyah as the governor of Sham. Muawiyah was the governor of Sham. And still the development took place. That a time came when the caliphate reached in the hands of Uthman. The caliphate reached in the hands of Uthman. And Uthman was a relative of the Umayyad regime. Uthman was a relative of the Bani Umayyah. At that time, history mentions that when Uthman became the caliphate, Abu Sufyan, now try to know the true nature of this man. He had already accepted Islam for his personal benefit on account of fear, but people did not know him. People considered him to be a Muslim. He used to stay in the Muslim society. He used to pray, and so did he fast. But people were unaware of this thing. when Caliphate reached Uthman, the third Khalifa, it is reported in history that Abu Sufyan gathered the people in the house of Uthman and told the people that look now, the Caliphate has reached in your hands. Preserve it and don't let it go loose. And then he says that I swear upon him. He does not say I swear upon Allah or I swear upon the Lord of Kaaba. Abu Sufyan says, I swear upon him that there is no hell nor heaven. All what matters is a government. Try to preserve it in your hands and let it stay in your inheritance. Whom did Abu Sufyan swear upon? I swear upon him on whom I always swear, that there is no hell nor heaven. It's a question of government. Preserve it and let it go in your inheritance. From this we realize who was Abu Sufyan. These were the Bani Umayyas. Not only that, if you go further to know the true nature of this Umayyad regime, there is an incident which has taken place that when Uthman died and when Imam Ali alayhi salam was martyred, when the Caliphate reached Muawiyah, Mughira bin Shiba goes to Muawiyah and tells him, O commander of the faithful, now that the Caliphate has reached your hands, and you have no threat from the Bani Hashim, how wise it would be on you that you treat your relatives, the Bani Hashims, in a good manner and you do something good to them. Muawiyah says, my brother Abu Bakr came during his time of rule. He did some notable deeds. He suffered and he tried to establish justice. But after his death, his name is mentioned casually now. Umar came after him. He even worked hard to establish justice. But with his name, with his death, his name is buried as well. And then Muawiyah tells to Mughira bin Shiba, and then Uthman came. Even he did some notable deeds. But on his death, his name was buried today. And then he tells to Mughira bin Shiba, O you motherless fellow, by Allah, I can hear the name of this man Muhammad coming 5 times a day in the Adhan. By Allah, I will never ever remain in peace until this name is exterminated. This is Bani Umayyah. We can realize from these incidences what was their attitude towards Islam, what was their attitudes towards the Prophet and the Muslims. So with these developments, inshallah, we shall develop the subject.